Good morning. How good it is to be together in this place in a spirit of worship. Another Sunday morning is upon us. Always good to spend the morning and to start this day and this week with all of you. A special welcome to those who might be visiting with us, and in particular, those who might be here with us for the first time. If this is your first time worshiping with us here at St. John's, there is a little card right in front of you in the pew to fill out, just so that we can be in touch. Thank you for joining us for worship today, so that you can learn more about us and we can learn a bit more about you and stay connected. You can fill that out and either leave it on the pew so someone can pick it up afterwards, or there is a basket in the back on your way out to the right of the doors. But all that to say, welcome to you, and it is good to know. It is wonderful to, it's wonderful for each of us to know, whether visitor or not, that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. We have a few announcements this morning. Most of them are found in your bulletins, just kind of a belt and suspenders thing. I'm going to say them out loud and you can read about them. So there is today, during fellowship time after this worship service, the personnel committee will be hosting an information or a Q&A session about our new communications role, our communications coordinator. So please, if you have questions or you just want to learn a bit more, head downstairs and members of our personnel team will be there to help answer those questions. The elders will be sponsoring a winter spud lunch. We haven't had one of those in a while, a nice baked potato lunch, on January 21st, that's next Sunday. So please plan to partake of that after worship. There's an announcement about our 2023 contribution statements. It's that time of year again, so if you are looking for that, those can be found in the office during the week or in the narthex on Sunday morning. Looking ahead, a reminder that Ash Wednesday is a bit early this year. That will take place on February 14th. We will have a meal from 5 to 6:45, and then our service with communion starting at 7. On the back of your bulletins, there's some information about the Midwinter Gala. That is coming up quickly. Wonderful event. Please take a look at that, and if you have any questions about that, I bet you Andrew would be happy to answer them. So make your way towards him if you have any questions. And the last announcement is just a thank you. It's Dale's scheduled Sunday off, so I want to thank Deb Dayton, who is my liturgist this morning, and as always, Abby Lamp, who provides our children's message and our wonderful children's programming. So I thank you to both of them. Okay, with all of that safely tucked away in a part of our brains that we will access at another time, I want to invite you to join me in taking a deep and slow breath. The best way to start a day, the best way to start a worship service, breathing in God's Spirit that is surely in this place, that fills each one of us as we worship. Take a moment to exhale, to set aside all the many things that are busying our hearts and minds this day, this week. Set them aside. They will be there when you come back to them. But for now, let us focus our hearts and our minds. Let us raise our voices as we join in worship together.
Thank you.
I invite you to join me in our responsive call to worship. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened. The Holy Spirit came down like a dove, and there was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my dearly loved Son, with whom I am delighted." That same Spirit descends upon us this day, and that same voice calls us by name. May we have ears to hear and hearts to receive the love and purpose that is offered to all of God's beloved children. We have been claimed by the God who is still speaking. Come, let us listen, let us worship. I invite you to join me as we confess our sins together by praying our prayer of confession. Let us pray. Loving God, week in and week out, in the midst of worship, we are reminded of your love for us, and we are assured of your forgiveness and grace. Forgive us for times when we fail to remember the power of those priceless gifts, and for when we fail to live differently in this world because of them. Remind us throughout this time set apart for worship and in our daily living that we are named and claimed by you, a God who is pleased with us, not because of what we do, but because of who we are and in whose image we have been created. May we honor you in all that we are. Amen. Friends, we are indeed loved by God, and every time we confess our sins, claim our mistakes, and ask for help, we are cleansed anew and offered an abundance of acceptance, grace, and forgiveness. Just as we are claimed by God, may we claim God's forgiveness as the gift that it is, and may it transform us inside and out. Amen. Let's join. We are forgiven, loved, and free. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
The scripture this morning is from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. So John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased."
I'd like to invite the children to come and join me on the steps. I told Pastor Addy it was just going to be us, and I would see how much you remember from what we talked about a few minutes ago. Well, it's a test. Uh-oh. Yeah. So down in Connect 3, we were talking about John the Baptist. What was he doing? He was baptizing people in the Jordan River. Right? And people were coming to him because they wanted to wash away their sins and promise to live a better life, right? Now, we baptize people here too, don't we? Yeah. Do we have to go to the river to do that? No, that would be an interesting adventure. But we have this right here, right? That usually has water in it. Now, most of the time when we baptize people, are they grown-ups? No, who do we baptize? Do we baptize babies? Yeah. And the parents and support people make promises for the baby. They promise that they will raise the baby to know and love Jesus and to believe in God. And today, we get the chance to remember that because we're remembering that this is the day that Jesus was baptized too. And then what came out of the sky when Jesus was baptized? Danny, you found the picture of it. Do you remember what came out of the sky? So that dove came down, and then the voice said, "You are my beloved son." And that's what we remember when we baptize the baby, that Jesus was baptized too, and God was pleased with Jesus. So let's think about that, and especially when we get to the part where we get to remember our baptism a little bit later. And in the meantime, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you.
invite you to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, as we come to this time of worship this morning, a time of listening, a time of thinking and pondering and feeling, we are so grateful for this tangible outward sign of your love in the gift of baptism. As we remember our own, as we think of yours, remind us that these waters cleanse us and renew us. May your word be in the midst of mine, and may the truth that we need for the living of this day rise to the surface for each of us. Amen. After the whirlwind of Advent and Christmas, January always feels a little bit of a slow month to me, but in case you have forgotten, it is a brand new year. And if your social media looks anything like mine, maybe you've seen or heard the phrase, "New Year, New You." A catchy little saying to remind us that with every January 1st, there is an opportunity to make a change, a chance to be a little better than the versions we were last year, a chance to resolve ourselves to a new way of doing and a new way of being. Of course, this phrase has been co-opted by advertisements for gym memberships and diet plans, but I think anyone and everyone can adopt this attitude. Now, to be honest, I feel the same way about New Year's resolutions as I do about giving things up for Lent, and that is, I like the idea in theory, but I think we spend a lot more time talking about it and less time actually doing it. I also don't really like how it implies that the 2023 version of who we are was not good enough, and now we need to upgrade to the 2024 update with all the bugs worked out and all the wrongs righted. That being said, this whole idea of new year, new you is, I suppose, at its core, an optimistic invitation for us to think about us as part of God's creation. Who we are, who we were created to be, and how God might be recreating us and calling us to recreate ourselves, not just because it's a new year, but because it is a new day. And God always wants for us renewal and rebirth. Let me ask, have you ever had a day that you just wanted to do over? Or maybe more than just a day? Maybe a do-over week, or a do-over month, or a do-over year. Whether it is a day or a decade, I think we have all had times when we wish we could back up, rewind, and start over. Do things differently. Choose different words to speak. Treat someone differently. Act in a different way. Handle a relationship better. And I wonder how much of that desire to do things differently comes from the same place the new year, new you mindset comes from, a deeper place, a place of wanting, longing to be different. Perhaps a wish to do over a conversation and choose different words to speak is actually a desire to be more thoughtful. How a wish to have treated someone differently comes from a deeper desire to be more compassionate. How a longing to do over how a friendship ended is actually a prayer to be more patient. Now, all those examples and all the many others you could name about your life and yourself are invitations to return to our baptismal waters, just like those of Christ that we read about this morning. Now, I'm very much aware that some of you here may or may not have been baptized. Some of you were babies, and some of you were adults. Some were sprinkled with water, some were dunked. Some don't remember it, and some of you remember it like it was yesterday. If you have the memory of your own baptism, I invite you to hold on to that. If you have been in church and seen little ones baptized, or perhaps a loved one that you've witnessed baptized, hold on to that memory. And if all you've got is the text from Mark this morning that tells us about the baptism of Christ, well, that's a perfect thing to grab a hold of right now as well. Whether you remember it or not, baptism is about naming and claiming. It is about reminding a precious little one or adult that we hold and surround with love and support him or her, that they are known and loved and called by God. We even say the words, beloved child, member of God's family. When we baptize anyone here at St. John's, we remind families and loved ones that there is nothing magic about what we do. Our baptismal waters do not undo the past or change the world's circumstances. The dripping of water on your head did not suddenly make you perfect. You weren't made to be, by the way. It did not cause God to find you acceptable. It did not convince God to love you. But I do believe with all of my heart that baptism changes things. It changes us. It reveals and affirms that inherent goodness that there is within us from day one. It reveals and affirms that God sees us and knows us and claims us and loves us. It reveals and affirms that your life matters and that God is delighted. Isn't that what we see and hear today in our passage from Mark? Mark places the baptism of Jesus at the very beginning of his gospel account. There is no birth narrative in Mark's gospel, so this is truly Jesus' first appearance. He simply came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up from those baptismal waters, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and a voice from heaven spoke directly to him, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." I think it's so important to remember that up to this point, Jesus hasn't done any God's son savior stuff yet. He hasn't survived the wilderness and its temptations. He hasn't healed anyone. He hasn't taught anything. No one has been raised from the dead. No miracles have been performed. He has not been crucified or resurrected. So what did Jesus do? Well, he showed up and he stepped in to be baptized and to let truth be spoken. And it was. God named Jesus his son, called him beloved, and expressed how pleased and delighted he was. Baptism is a reminder that Jesus steps in with us. My 5-year-old nephew, Elliot, is not a huge fan of swimming. In fact, he would really rather not. But this past fall, on our annual trip to the Outer Banks, he got up the nerve to get in the pool. If, of course, someone stepped in with him. Having someone step in beside him, holding his hand, reminding him he wasn't descending into the water alone and that he could do it, made all the difference. It probably also didn't hurt that the pool was heated, but it's true. It's always easier to step in to whatever it is we're stepping into when someone steps in with you. Think about it. Jesus' first public act, besides being born, was not a miraculous healing or a dramatic transformation. It was an act, quite literally, of getting in line with the people, stepping into his humanity in the fullest, most embodied way. Baptism, an outward, visible sign that Christ is with us, that we are in this together. Just when we're waiting for Jesus to show his power and flex his holy muscles as God's only son, he surprises us again, and he steps in with us, reminding us that we are in the deep water together, taking any opportunity to feel what we feel and experience what we experience. Just a foreshadowing of all the upside-down kingdom things to come. Baptism is all about stepping in to embrace Christ's baptism story, to embrace baptism in our own faith tradition, is to embrace the core truth that we are created, named, claimed, and loved, and that we are called to step in with one another, just as Christ steps in with us. Jesus' baptism was not a trophy or a reward, but an invitation. It didn't change him into something new, but reminded him of who he already was, so that he could embrace his identity and act on it. It was a reminder that he and God were in this together. Just like New Year's resolutions are invitations, not do-overs, remembering our baptism and the baptism of Christ is not about rewinding and starting over. It too is an invitation to renewal, to purpose, to love. And what word is smack in the center of the word renewal, but new? What makes us truly new is not a new year or even any of the resolutions we make. What makes us truly new, a new and renewed creation, is knowing that we are enough, just as we are, beloved, created by God to be who we were meant to be, continuously recreated and renewed by a God who is still speaking. To enter into that water returns us to the truth God knows about us, even when we do not know or believe the truth for ourselves, even when we have forgotten or denied that truth, even when we cannot see it in the world around us, and even when we have acted contrary to it. Baptismal waters drown out the other voices that speak untruth about us and around us each day. They wash away our forgetfulness, our apathy, and indifference. They embolden and strengthen us. They renew hope and refresh the weary. They cleanse our eyes that we might see one another and Christ stepping in with us. Now, of course, none of this ensures that we won't know trouble or loss or disappointment. Just like embracing the new year, new you mindset doesn't magically erase the year before you or fix the world's problems. But let me assure you that God is always looking for ways to remind you, to remind all of us, that we belong. That there is someone beside us holding our hand as we make our way into the deep. Each of us created and validated, affirmed and appreciated, called, claimed, and named by God. The same God who met Jesus at his baptismal waters to remind him that he was not alone. And so we are met in still waters and in rough seas by a Christ who steps in with us. Just like baptism was the beginning of Christ's ministry, baptism, remembering in whose image we have been made and in whose hands we now dwell, is the starting line of our faith, not the finish line. It is an invitation, the beginning of our call to be who God created us to be, and to speak and to spread that kind of no-strings-attached love to all whom we meet. Now, in just a moment, we will have the opportunity to reaffirm our baptism by sharing in a responsive liturgy and singing, of course, Jesus Loves Me, which we often do after we baptize a baby. It's not one we often choose to sing as a hymn, but I jumped at the opportunity to sing all three verses of this song together. So as we speak, and especially as we sing, I want to invite you to pay special attention to the words, familiar as they may be, and to give thanks for the simple truths that they contain. Jesus, the one who time and time again gets in line with us, steps into the deep end with us, loves us, and connects us forever to a God who says we belong. May that give us hope and purpose in this new year and every new day in it, that we, like Jesus, might hear the voice of the one who created us to be enough and beloved just as we are, who calls us into renewal, and who steps into all of it with us. Amen. If you haven't yet, I invite you to turn in your bulletin to our reaffirmation of baptism and follow along with me as we reaffirm. Siblings in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, God's Spirit has been poured out upon water. Water that flows freely for all who will receive it. Water from the streams of God's saving power and justice. Water that brings hope to all who thirst for righteousness. Water that refreshes life, nurtures growth, and offers new birth. Water that unites us and one another with Christ. Today, we come to the waters to renew our commitments in each other's presence, to Christ who has raised us, the Spirit who has birthed us, and the Creator who is making all things new. And so I ask, do you accept the freedom and power God gives in baptism to resist injustice, hatred, and oppression? We do. Will you proclaim the good news and continue to live as disciples of Christ? We will. Will you be a living witness to the gospel and remember who you are and whose you are, a beloved child of God? Will you remain faithful members of Christ's church, serving Christ in the world? Come upon us, Holy Spirit. As it is poured out, let these waters be to us drops of your mercy. Let these waters renew us in the resurrection power of Jesus. Glory to you, most holy God. Glory to you, Spirit of fire, Spirit over the waters, Spirit of holiness. Friends, today is a time to recall the promises of your baptism, made either by you or on behalf by your parents and other loved ones. Today is a time to remember who you are and whose you are, a beloved child of God. Amen. Now, I wish I could bring all of you up here and sprinkle water on your heads, and I thought about walking down the aisle and splashing you. But what I am going to do is leave this up front, and at the end of our service, I'd ask that we hold this space as sort of sacred ground, that you can come forward and place your hands in the water, just to be reminded tangibly of the waters of our baptism, even as we renew them with word and song. But let us join now in singing our sermon hymn, Jesus Loves Me.
Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Lord of heaven and of earth, and all in between and below, we long for your presence in our daily lives, in our church, and in our hurting world. Tune our ears to your still small voice through the clamor. Extend your hand of mercy to us as we step into that baptismal river of Jordan with excitement, dread, reservations, joy, worry, hope. You know our complicated natures, and you smile with love and bless us. We ask your special blessings for the family and loved ones of Pete Scrivano, friend of Becky Gordon. Pete recently lost his battle to cancer. Pour out your refreshing presence like water into their painful, unique situations. We ask your special blessings on our church, St. John's, for our vision and season of renewal. We ask your special blessing on our nation and countries around the world plunged into conflict. Pour out your refreshing presence like water into these unique situations. Hear now our silent prayers for blessing for our own unique situations. God, we are thirsty people. We journey through unforgiving and parched times in life. We crave your spiritual waters. You speak to us through the book of Isaiah where you say, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. God, we embrace your wonderful and refreshing promises to us this morning with gratitude. Amen.
As we switch our gears and move into our time of offering, I want to invite you to stand as we sing together our doxology, as our offering is brought forward, and as we dedicate it to God. Loving God, for these gifts that have been generously shared and for all the possibilities that will unfold because of that which has been given, we give you thanks. As we seek to affirm our gratefulness for all that you have given us, may we use what has been offered in ways that honor both you and your people, that honor our baptismal call. May we invite you along in our discernment and in our living out of that call. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Before we go this morning, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the holiday we will observe tomorrow as we celebrate Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, as we honor his work and legacy, and as we commit and recommit to continuing the courageous work he began, and as we celebrate the gift and call of our baptisms. I want to share a quote with you that I read this week. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life reminds us that baptism is not just a sweet, sentimental ritual. Baptism, in its fullest depths, means taking a plunge with Jesus toward all sorts of delight and joy and chaos and social and political craziness and uncertainty, and then facing all of it with a Christ-like courage that shines light in darkness and spreads salt over the places in our lives and in our world that have lost their savor and flavor for what is good and right and respectable and noble and true and just and fair. So may we go out into the world to do just that, to take the plunge toward truth, goodness, and love. Start first this morning by greeting your neighbors like the beloved children of God that they are. Let them know you are glad they are here. Come up front, touch the baptismal waters, be reminded once again of your baptismal call, and then go out into the world to continue to shine the light, to wade in the waters of peace and justice, remembering your baptism, knowing that Christ steps in with you this day and every day. Amen.